Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started. Happy Saturday.
Yes, BE community. How you doing?
Woo! Yes. It's springtime.
It is. And this is officially the last Saturday of Women's History Month. So
yes.
I hope you ladies have been getting it in because it is all about us. And I'm just saying, we need to, like, while the getting is good, we just need to soak it all in, take full advantage of every event, every workshop, every shout out, like all the things pertaining to women. So keep the party going, ladies. Okay. How you doing, Toya?
I'm doing okay. It's been a very challenging week, but God is sustaining me. And giving me grace, but Amen. It has been challenging. What about you?
Same. Very, very full. Very, very busy. I have been working. I think a lot of y'all know I started a new position. And so one of the main parts of my role is overseeing like an event that happens in all of our Home Depot stores. And I do events, you know, personally and professionally. I've done events before, but this one was just much more dynamic than I am used to, like literally impacting not just like, you know, all the creative fun stuff, but, you know, working with merchants and figuring out what the offers are going to be and working with tech to make sure that it shows up and is distributed properly, like all the things. And so it has been a learning process, a very steep learning curve. There are a lot of eyes on it. So I've had to present and prepare presentations for VPs and just really make sure that questions have been answered. And if people have questions, they're quick to be like, so did we think about, and I was telling my husband earlier today, I was like, did we think about means, did you think about? So
of course. So, I have to throw that we part in there.
Of course.
When they're meaning you.
Exactly. So I've been in the hot seat this week, but so far so good. By literally, like you said, by God's grace, he has really enabled me to pull this event off successfully. I've gotten great feedback so far. And so, you know, the proof will be in the pudding. So we'll look and see what the sales and redemption rates and all that stuff looks like and participation rates, enrollments, all that, what it looks like after the fact. But so far, so good. So I am, God has been faithful. So yes.
Amen.
But so hopefully today will be a breath of fresh air for both you and me.
Yes, I look forward to when we get to have some adult time with BE.
Yes.
And just kind of, you know, let my hair down a little bit.
Yes. Girl, you can vent with us. We're here for it, okay? If you need to pull up a little drink and just, you know, sip while we talk and all that great stuff, do what you need to do, you know, and just let your hair down, have a moment, just relax. And yeah, we're here
awesome.
For it. So, all right. So, before we get into what we're talking about, we haven't done what's trending in a while. And I think there's some things we might need to just weigh in on. What do you think?
Yes.
Okay. So what's trending? Let's get into what's trending, y'all. Okay. First up, and y'all, if you are part of the BE community and you have been for a while, then you know, we got the scoop on this one a couple years ago. It was rumored at the time, of course, that Megan Good and Jonathan Majors were dating. And we actually ran into them at Essence Fest a couple years ago. And we were like, oh my God, there's Jonathan Majors.
They were sitting literally in the next table away from us and ordered the same meal that we ordered.
Yes, they were peeping our menu, y'all. And
like, dude, that looked good. What they got over there?
So they're like, we're getting the same thing, right? And so we could clearly see that Jonathan Majors was over there, but Megan Good's back was to us. So it didn't dawn on us like, oh, I wonder if that's Megan Good until we were about to leave. So when we got up to leave, because we left, we came before them and we left before them. So when we got up to leave, we were like, oh, how can we like turn our heads like inconspicuously to see if that's really Megan Good? And lo and behold, y'all, she was sitting right across from him. So we got the scoop, okay? And we verified it here a couple years ago, if you don't know. But all that to say, they're not only Instagram official, but they are officially husband and wife. Megan been tied the knot, okay, y'all? Round two. Here we go. So round I'm excited two. For them. How are you feeling?
I'm going to say congratulations. Yeah. I hope it works out well.
Me too.
I know Jonathan has been in the news for some not so great things that occurred.
Yeah.
Domestic things. Yeah. And so I pray that he has received all of the help. Mm-hmm. That he needed, and that their marriage will be blessed. Amen. And you know, like Devon Franklin, I think he's kind of
remarried as well.
He's mm-hmm. Oh, is he officially?
He's officially remarried. Well, oh, is I thought he engaged? They were engaged. Maybe they're engaged. I might be mistaken, y'all. If you know in the chat, put it in the chat. But to your point, he has moved on as well.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think they're engaged. I don't think I remember seeing that they're officially married, mm-hmm. but I know they were married for a good little minute. I think.
You talking about Megan and Devon? Yeah, they were married, gosh, at least 10 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
It is. So yeah, definitely wish them the best. And like you mentioned, you know, Jonathan Majors has gone through a lot in the media. Just as his star was like rising, as he was on the come up, he was getting all these big roles, and then all these allegations came out. And Megan stood by him. He called her his Coretta. I think the King family might have had something to say about that, but he called her his Coretta, and so she, you know, stood by him in the process. And you know, he's making his way back into Hollywood. He's actually preparing to come out in this new film where he's starring as a bodybuilder. And so I think the goal was like, hey, if I'm gonna do this, I want to do this right. So they got married before the premiere, you know, so that they can make it official. So we'll see.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Jonathan and Megan. Megan, girl, you know, we're here for you. If you want to hop on by and give us the deets, we're here. Jonathan, we're here for you too. But yes, congratulations. Congratulations. So next up, I really wanted to talk about this because it honestly kind of disheartened me. I don't know if any of y'all watch The Breakfast Club. It's a morning show on the radio. They're on YouTube as well. They were on BET for a while. I think they're on Tubi now, but long time standing radio show. If I'm not mistaken, they've been around for at least about 20 years, maybe a little bit less, but they've been around for a while. So Charlamagne Tha God, DJ Envy, it used to be Angela Yee. Okay. A couple years ago, Angela Yee got her own radio show. Shout out to Angela Yee. So she's like, all right, I'm gonna move on. And they went through this whole audition interview process where they were kind of rotating other co-hosts in and out to find that woman to kind of fill mm-hmm. the void. So Jess Hilarious, she's a comedian. You may have seen her on Wild 'N Out. She filled the role, okay? And I love Jess. One thing I love about Jess is not only is she funny, but she keeps it a buck. Like, she keeps it real. If somebody needs to be challenged or corrected, she's not afraid to do that. You know, she grew up in the church. If I'm not mistaken, I think her mother or her father, she might be a PK, honestly. So, like, when they have gospel guests on there, you know, she's familiar with them. And she's, like, she's authentic. All that to say, though, she recently had a baby. So while she was out on maternity leave, they brought in another host to kind of fill in named Lauren LaRosa. Lauren LaRosa is from TMZ. She left TMZ a couple years ago and has been kind of doing her own thing. So Lauren LaRosa is a reporter. I mean, literally, she was on TMZ. And so that's what she does. And so she's great at what she does, but she's, to me, not as authentic as Jess Hilarious. And so she filled in for her while she was on maternity leave, did an amazing job, okay? Jess comes back from maternity leave and Lauren continues to stay. She's still on the show. So a lot of people were kind of like, is she a permanent? Is she a producer? Like, what's going on? And it became a little awkward because Jess, her What's Trending segment is called Jess with the Mess. And so they would do Jess with the Mess, but Lauren was sharing the stories. So it was kind of interesting. And you know, y'all know how these comments be online. You know, people were saying all kind of stuff like, oh, Jess got Lauren doing a job for her, you know, or she's a comedian again, so she's traveling a lot. Where's Jess? You know, what is she doing? Is she, you know, she basically, they were dragging her in the comments. I'm not gonna lie. and they were dragging Jess. And so Jess went live and basically like had this vent session and basically really shared a lot of things that I think people had kind of been thinking, because she herself, I think, was feeling unsure, insecure about the whole situation since they kept Lauren on when she came back. But she hadn't really apparently said that to the other co-hosts. So because she aired it out online, they literally had a whole show where they just kind of talked it out, brought Lauren on and everything to really be like, okay, why do you feel this way? I didn't know you feel this way. What can we do to make it better? And so there were a lot of mixed opinions about that, because people were like, well, should this have been done in public? You know, and I honestly was one of those people. But because Jess opened that can of worms and vented publicly instead of like talking directly to her team, they had to address it publicly. It just didn't, to me, look good, especially, again, y'all, this is Women's History Month, to see two Black women at that going at it or competing. Now, I think they both kept it classy for the most part, where they weren't like really like, you know, super aggressive or like, just, you know, they didn't go at each other's throats, so to speak, but you could tell that there was like there was just some irritation, agitation, some things that needed to be aired out. Mm-hmm. And I hate that they did it online in front of everybody, but I see why they had to, because of what Jess, you know, had to do. So I'm not sure if you're familiar. Okay.
But based on what you said, I will say, sometimes when you're in a workplace, it can feel like a second family. Mm-hmm. And so when you're second family or your family, if you're feuding, like, you don't want to air out your dirty laundry in front of everybody, in front of the public, in front of the world. Like my mama used to say, what happens in this house stays in this house.
Yeah.
And so you're not supposed to be like, running your mouth in the street. So I kind of feel like that conversation, and she should not have probably, you know, aired it live.
She just had a moment of weakness.
And I get that too, because I think we've all been in those moments where you just need to vent and express yourself. She's probably going through like postpartum.
Of course, yes.
Hormones.
That baby has got to be 6 or 7 months old. Very young. Yeah.
So, and I get that. And like, your hormones are all over the place. Yeah. And so I think they should have gave her a little bit of grace. Because it is hard to see, like, when someone looks like they're, like, kind of taking your place and they haven't really had that conversation with you, like, oh, we're going to keep her.
Exactly.
You know, like,
exactly.
That could rub anyone the wrong way.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, it was like they're basically finally talking about what everybody has been thinking. To your point, my biggest concern was Jess should have had the conversation behind the scenes. If you feel in a certain type of way, you know, you talk with your team about it, you talk to the producers about it, you talk to the EPs about it, you talk to the higher ups about it, like, have those conversations. You talk to the co-host about it. Have those conversations, number one. Number two, I hate to say it, but stay out them comments, especially when you're dealing with like mainstream secular radio, basically people that don't know Jesus. They're gonna say all kind of foolishness.
Sometimes too.
Christians,
Ryan Righteous of Track Stars. I had to remind him to don't read the comments because some people come just to say negative things about you, about your platform.
Yes.
You don't know if they're really Christian, saved, or whatever. And people are going to say things and pick on you and bully you from a distance. Like, people can have internet courage, of course.
Of course.
And if they would see you, and they wouldn't say that to your face.
Exactly.
And so you got to kind of remember that with internet, is that people have internet courage, and you can't let that stuff get under your skin, and don't read the comments. Now, become an Eva, y'all. I be commenting on y'all's comments. Y'all keep it nice. So
we love y'all. Yes. We do be. Yeah.
So y'all can comment all the time. We read y'all's comments.
Yes, because y'all are nice. But, you know, every now and then, especially, and realistically, you know, the larger your platform becomes, the more notoriety you get, you're just gonna have haters. Even if you have like the best content, even if you are, you know, a man or a woman of God with incredible integrity and character, you're still gonna have somebody saying something crazy. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, you know, either A, stay out the comments, or B, don't take them so seriously. Take them, you know, with a grain of salt, because like you said, they don't know you. And 9 times out of 10, they would not be saying it to your face. So, but yes. So anything else on the Breakfast Club female feud?
No.
All right. Last but certainly not least, had to weigh in on this one because I was like, bro is wilding. Okay. So Neo, please come to the front of the congregation. Neo, we need to have a word with you. Neo, singer, songwriter. If I'm not mistaken, I think he professes to be a Christian, but I could be wrong. I don't know about that. He might be wilding these days. I don't know. But all that to say, okay, Neo, R&B singer, songwriter, he's now officially a polygamist, and he's proud about it. Basically, he came out of his second marriage and realized, okay, I can't be monogamous. Basically, I don't know how to not cheat on my wife, which is a whole nother conversation. So he's like, I'm just going to lean in and embrace it. And so this brother is living with 4 different women in the same household. I didn't realize he has 7 children. I thought he had like 4. He has 7 children. I don't know how many baby mamas, at least 2 from his 2 previous marriages. But yes, he has basically embraced the lifestyle, and he's like, it is what it is. Take it or leave it. So I have many thoughts, but I'm going to start with you.
Somebody need to go rescue him and pray for that man.
Rescue him.
Yes. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a lot.
That's a lot.
But here's the thing, Toya. Are you okay? If that's the life you want to live, that's the life you want to live. Are you more frustrated with Neo or the women that are entertaining this foolishness?
Both of them.
Yeah.
Like, y'all are accepting this.
Exactly.
That's crazy. I don't care how rich you are or how much, you know, money you have, like, or how famous. Yeah. Like, I would not put myself in that position.
Exactly. I'm not trying to share no man.
No.
I'm so sorry.
How does that even work? Like, you got me Monday, you on Tuesday, like how many?
Exactly.
Does he alternate?
That's, apparently.
Oh, you on your cycle this week, so you just out the game.
Hot mess. Hot mess.
I don't know how that works.
Toya said you on your cycle this week, so you out the game. I can't.
This week. But you know, sometimes with women, when you live close, sometimes your cycles
sync up. Yep.
So how does that work? Are they all on their cycle?
Exactly. And here's my thing. Okay. You, and I've probably said this on here before. I've definitely said it before. Lust is never satisfied. So what make you think, if you couldn't be monogamous with 1 woman and now you got 4, what's to stop you from getting 5, 6, 7
more?
You know what I mean? What's to stop you from bringing men into the equation? What's to stop you from bringing children into the equation? What's to stop you from bringing animals? I'm so serious. Everything is up for grabs at this point. It sounds like everything is up
animals.
For grabs.
Oh, goodness. I'm just
read the news. I'm not far-fetched from this. But all I'm saying is, if you don't know how to exercise discipline and self-control, like, this is not the way to fix it. It's not. There's really not. Jesus is the only way to fix that. For real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. But Neo, I want so much better for you. These women that are living with you, that have accepted this as their life, I want so much better for them. I really do. Mm-hmm. I want so much better for your children, Neo. Like,
yeah, and how that's impacting them.
That's, yes.
Watching him doing it to their mama and mamas.
Exactly.
You know, plural.
That's Trackstars talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I think shout out to Plain James. Plain James had me rolling. He talked about some, the kids confused because this one making his lunch, this one helping him with his homework. I said, oh my Lord. Oh my Lord. These children, if nothing, I won't say if nothing else. First and foremost, do it for Jesus. But secondly, do it for these children because, like, they're confused. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's all I'm gonna say. But yeah, I just had to bring on that one on up because yeah, we shouldn't be about that life for the men or the women. It's not a good look. So anything else on what's trending before we dive on in?
Let's dive on in.
Okay, so some of y'all may have seen this graphic or the flyer and or the thumbnail or whatever and been like, what are we saying? She rose. We're saying she rose, okay?
Yes.
The female version of heroes, okay? And we taking it back. We taking it way back. We talking about the OGs when it comes to she rose, okay? We figured this would be a great way to close out Women's History Month by starting with the original women, like literally the OGs. And so we talking about women of the Bible this week and really sharing their stories, but then also looking at how we may identify with them or may want to identify with them, because honestly, their goals, each one of them are goals when it comes to womanhood, when it comes to being a woman of God, you know, when it comes to, you know, being wives, mothers, like all of leaders, businesswomen, all of that. Okay. So kicking on off, Toya.
Yes. So we're going to kick it off with Deborah the Warrior. And I really love the story of Deborah. So in your Bibles, you can read about Deborah from Judges chapter 4-5. And my mom named me after something related to Deborah in the Bible. My middle name.
Yep, I was thinking about that.
Kishon. The Kishon River. And so in this story, it talks about how, you know, Deborah is a prophetess, she's a judge, she's a military leader, and she was crucial in delivering the Israelites from the Canaanite oppression.
Yeah.
And so she was the only female judge, and she led the army. She commanded Barak to lead an army against Jabin's commander, Sisera, assuring him of God's victory, but he hesitated. And so she told him that the victory would ultimately be given to a woman, which happened when Jael killed Sisera. And when she killed Sisera, she had to cross over the Kishon River. So that's where the Kishon River comes from. And so the story of Deborah to me means a lot because she's a female, first off, leading this army. And so to me, it's showing me that God was using her in spite of her gender. So I think that's a huge thing. And then from the story, I also think about obedience and being obedient to God. And when Barak did not, he hesitated. And so she said, well, God is going to bring the victory, but it's going to be through a woman. And so I think there's so many different spiritual lessons in the story of Deborah being a warrior. So
I love that.
I really love the story of Deborah in the Bible. So you guys should check her out.
She's the original woman king, y'all. I'm just
saying,
like, he was like the warrior for real, like doing her thing. So with authority from God. So I just love that. I love seeing women lead with authority. So good stuff.
Yes. So tell us about Ruth.
All right, y'all. Ruth the widow. And some of y'all may be familiar with Ruth because a lot of people talk about Ruth and Boaz, but you may not know the backstory. Okay, so Ruth was a Moabite, okay, and her husband was an Israelite. And so she, when she married her husband, you know, she, of course, became a part of their family and started traveling with them. And so while they were traveling, her husband passes away. And you know, then her husband's brother passes away. Cause I think usually at that time, if your husband passes away, then your brother can kind of take you in. But literally both her mother-in-law's name was Naomi, both of Naomi's sons died. And so Naomi told Ruth, look, I ain't got nothing for you. I can't do nothing for you. You know, both of my sons are dead. Go back to your land of Moab. You know, they'll take care of you. Go back to your family, your parents. They will take care of you. And the famous verse, Ruth says no to Naomi. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. And get this, your God will be my God. So she was like, she was down. She was like really a ride or die. She was like, I'm officially an Israelite. Like, what, regardless of what my bloodline says, I'm an Israelite. I'm staying with y'all. I'm not going anywhere. And so Naomi was like, okay, well, we just gonna figure this out, right? And so, she stays with Naomi, and basically they discover that her husband has like what's called like a kinsman redeemer, and so basically, Boaz is this person who has a field, and he's a wealthy landowner, and he was actually a relative of Naomi's, actually Naomi's late husband. And so Naomi says, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go. I want you to work in the field under Boaz. And he's going to take care of you. Him and his people will take care of you. They'll make sure that nothing happens to you. They'll make sure you get fed, all that great stuff. And so, Ruth follows Naomi's instructions, and she works in Boaz's field. And Boaz notices her. He notices her because she has strong work ethic. She's consistent. And he starts telling the people in the field, hey, leave a little bit of grain behind for my girl over here so that, you know, she can be taken care of. Her mother-in-law can be taken care of, all of that. And so finally, Naomi's like, I want you to go and lay at Boaz's feet one night, you know, and hopefully he will take care of you basically as your kinsman redeemer, which she does. She actually becomes his wife, Boaz's wife. And from there is officially entered into the bloodline of Jesus Christ. I mean, like literally her lineage gives birth to King David, who leads down to Jesus. And so I just thought it was super dope that she was like, I'm not leaving. Like, y'all are my people. Y'all are my family. Your God is my God. That's amazing. Like, and God rewarded her. God rewarded her for her faithfulness. What I thought of when we were, you know, researching these stories and I was reading through the scripture, which is in the book of Ruth, chapters 1-4. You can read it for yourself. I think there was a video of someone who basically was saying, like, you know, everybody's like, where's my Boaz? Where's my Boaz? Like, she was basically like, people romanticize the story too much. And I don't know if people are thinking like, where's my provider versus where's my husband? I mean, honestly, they should be one and the same in some way, shape, or form. But oftentimes, I think she was saying people kind of romanticize their story. I don't think there's anything wrong with this story. I mean, at the end of the day, he did take her in and care for her. But it just, yeah, it made me think about the commentary around that, like how people reference, what makes people reference, like, I haven't found my Boaz yet. Like, have you ever used that phrase? And
if yes, so, I actually used that phrase in my first book, in The One Who Restores, mm-hmm. when I talk about Ryan mm-hmm. being my Boaz.
Oh, and so, you know this personally. I love it.
Yeah, because, you know, if you've read my book, you know about the story of my boyfriend that I dated before Ryan. We had dated for 4 years mm-hmm. and it ended terribly. And then mm-hmm. he ended up being killed in a car accident. Mm-hmm. And so it was a lot of grief yeah. and struggle. And, you know, I think I felt like giving up yeah. on like dating mm-hmm. and marriage and all the things. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like God like sent Ryan yeah. My way, even when I was grieving.
Yeah.
And I was just like, he's like my Boaz.
I get it. I feel like you used it in a more relevant way than mm-hmm. other people. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. I feel like Boaz kind of restored what was lost for mm-hmm. Ruth. You know what I mean? And like you said, for you, like you were grieving and mm-hmm. there was a lot. You were like, you know, I've invested all this time. God, like, what are you doing? And he really was your Boaz. So mm-hmm. I could see why you would say that. I feel like a lot of people just use it when they're like, I haven't found my husband yet. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So, which is interesting to me, but yeah. So that is Ruth, okay, the widow, who, you know, God redeems the time and restores all that has been lost. through Boaz. All right. You want to tell us about Queen Esther?
Yes. So Esther has an entire book dedicated to her in the Bible. So you can definitely check out her story by reading the book of Esther. And I definitely think it's so deserving that she has her own book that outlines the story of Esther.
Yes.
So Esther was the Jewish queen of Persia who played a role in saving her people. And this, of course, is in the Old Testament. And just a little background information about who Esther was. She was an orphan, and she was being raised by her cousin Mordecai in Persia. And the Persian king Xerxes chose her as his queen, unaware of her Jewish heritage. And so the king's advisor, Haman, plotted to destroy the Jewish people. And Esther took a great personal risk when she approached the king without an invitation. Wow. So I don't know all the information about, like, the rules and stuff, like, from that time.
You have to be summoned.
Like, yeah, you have to be summoned by the king. And so she approached the king without an invitation, which could have led her to her execution. Yeah. But it ultimately revealed Haman's plan, and then the king reversed the decree, and the Jews were saved. And so Esther played a huge role, and I've watched movies and the movies that the, you know, the reenactments of Esther, and I like how you know, I feel like she was kind of like hesitant to fill that role that God was calling her to. And when I think about her story, I think of how sometimes we can kind of be insecure with the things that God is calling us to, but she was still courageous and she still went forward and did what she was supposed to do to help save her people. So I think that's amazing because it shows her bravery, her courage, and her obedience. And sometimes when we have to make or do hard things, we sometimes can be fearful.
Yeah.
And so that's when you have to really rely on the Holy Spirit that is dwelling on the inside of you to continue making steps towards whatever he has called you to do. So those are some spiritual things that really stand out to me about Queen Esther.
Yeah, I love one of the scriptures that, and basically in her words, were basically after Mordecai tells her, hey, you got to speak up for our people. We about to be executed, you know, and when she decides, hey, I'm going to do it, you know, that obedience, but then also like that fear. And she says, if I perish, I perish, you know? And to me, that's like, she counted the cost. And she was like, at the end of the day, I'm going to do what I need to do. And I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. And, you know, if there are consequences, there are consequences, but I choose obeying God over, you know, obeying the law of this land,
right?
Which was amazing.
Cause she could have been executed for doing that.
Yep.
That's scary.
Very. But she said, look, if I perish, I perish. So if it's time for me to go, then it's time for me to go. But I'm going to do what the Lord has called me to do.
So. Yeah. And sometimes you have to have that resolve. If you are really following after Christ. Yep. And sometimes he calls us into some really tough journeys and tough roads. And you have to be 100% all the way in there, no matter how scary it looks ahead of you. You have to know that God has your back. And if it is in God's will,
absolutely,
that's your end time, then so be it.
Yeah, that's real. I mean, that's all the more reason to make sure you know Jesus. So that if it is time, or when it is time, you know where you're going. Amen. Okay. So shall we move on?
Yes.
All right. So I love this one. This is actually, this person represents the blueprint for Becoming Eva. So you've heard us talk before about the name Becoming Eva, and basically how we call we chose the name Eva instead of Eve because we consider Eva to be the restored Eve, or yes. Eve 2.0. Okay. Now, if you want a good idea of who or what Eve 2.0 looks like, then I would definitely recommend you read Proverbs 31. Okay. And again, I say this is the blueprint for our show because we really looked at like the tenets of this woman and her character and her description and said, okay, how can we help women in the kingdom to look more like this woman? You know what I mean? How can we support? How can we encourage? How can we lift up and inspire people to be a Proverbs 31 woman? Okay. Yes. And so the dope thing about her is, I mean, she literally was so dynamic, you know, it almost feels unreal. Like, how in the world can this woman do all of this? Be a wife, be a mama, be a businesswoman, be a leader, be respected in the community, staying up late, getting up early, like how in the world, okay? And of course, I will say there's a time and a place for everything. It may not mean doing everything at once. Most women say you can have it all, just not at once, okay? So we're going to say, we're going to talk through these different things and kind of what they look like, some of the tenets of her character, okay? First one, she is trustworthy and good to her husband. I love this because it really, again, it speaks to her inner character. It speaks to the core of who she is, okay? She's not just beautiful. She's not just gifted and talented, but she has integrity. You know what I mean? Like her husband doesn't have to worry about, okay, where is she going? What is she doing? What is she up to? You know what I'm saying? And she's good to her husband. Like we talk a lot about how it's important to revere your husband, to respect your husband, to serve your husband, quite honestly, you know, and that can look and feel and be, you know, that can look differently in different seasons. But one thing that sticks out to me, because I struggle with it personally, is tone. It's all in the tone, you know, it's not necessarily what you're saying as much as how you say it. Mm-hmm. And I would even say when you say it, you know what I mean? Like, you know, your husband better than anyone else, at least you should. So you should have an idea of when your husband is able to receive from you, especially if you need to say something that he may not like or agree with, or it may not just feel good. You get what I'm saying? So yes, I think all of that is a part of being good to your husband, you know, respecting them, honoring them. Okay. And then she enriches his life and brings him good, not harm. Like there's a proverb where it says, you know, better that a man live on the roof of a house than with a bickering woman. I mean, literally, or nagging. That's what it says. Nagging woman. Okay. We could get stuck there. We really can. And I get it. We trying to get stuff done and they may not be moving as fast as we would like them to. But again, it's all about the how we say it and when we say it. And even with nagging, you might want to add how often you say it. Because if you do find yourself repeating things over and over, your husband may look at you like you're a nag. So figuring out the ways to communicate to your husband in a way that's honoring him and giving reverence to him. So yes, and does not bring him harm. You know, you want to make sure that your home is a home of peace, that your husband wants to come home, that he not trying to stay out at happy hour or go out with the boys all the time. I mean, there's definitely a time and place for that, but where, I mean, like if he's not trying to like extend his day, like, okay, how long can I be out before I got to go home? Like that should not be the case. That should not be the case. There's a problem if that's the case. And you may not be the problem. You may be making a peaceful home, but still there is a problem if that is the case and it needs to be addressed. But I would definitely say making sure your home is a home of peace, where your spouse is being built up, where they're being encouraged, you know, especially when it comes to men of color, Black men in particular. Like I feel like Black men kind of get beat down all day, and they, when they come home, if nowhere else, they should be esteemed at home. They should know like this is their refuge, their place of safety. They should be revered as the head of the household, as the kings that they are. So all that to say, she's trustworthy and she's good to her husband. Did you get all of that out of that? All right. She's also hardworking and industrious. We talk about this a lot. Okay. And look, this right here, I feel like it's a poster child for hardworking and industrious. This woman, when she reads off her resume and everything that she does in a given day, I get tired and out of breath. I'm not doing it. I get tired and out of breath. But I feel like she is an amazing example of that because she does it so gracefully, like so gracefully. I think a lot of people look at Toya and they don't realize, okay, number one, this woman got four children. Number two, this woman is married. Number two, she's working full time. Number three, she's doing in school, like literally, because she's just graceful with it. I don't see how you do it. But all that to say, hardworking and industrious. And the industrious part to me stands out because not only should you have strong work ethic, but like industrious means like we know how to make something out of nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like I think about like, you know, your mom or your grandma who's be like, okay, let me go whip something up. And you would have just been in that kitchen. You would have just been in that pantry looking. You was probably the kid at the time saying, I ain't nothing in here to eat. You know what I'm saying? And then your mom or your grandma go, oh, let me whip something up. And then they literally come out with this full course meal. And you like, where in the world did this come from? Like, and that's just an example. Okay. I'm not saying, you know, Proverbs 31 woman has to be a great cook, but I am saying we know how to like make something out of nothing and pull things together. And that can be done in a myriad of ways, you know, from, you know, decorating your house with next to nothing to getting things done on a small budget with your job or what have you. Like, we know how to get it done. We know how to do it well, and we know how to look good doing it. Okay. So industrious, skilled in her work, providing for her household through business and productivity. Were you about to say something?
I was just saying, thank you for that lovely compliment.
It's true.
I do look up to the Proverbs 31 woman, and it's something that I feel like I'm striving to definitely be with my capacity of all the things that God has called me to, like you listed. Like when you listed, like I'm like, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. I do a lot and I try to do everything well. And I feel like you said, you can't do everything all at the same time, which is something I feel like I've been learning how to balance it all, because I don't want to, you know, drop the ball on my children or family or my husband or household. But I also want to do the thing, other things that God has also called me to do in the world. And, you know, he has called us to be lights in the world. So, like I was saying, I feel like I try to do everything and it's hard to balance and find that rhythm. But you definitely have to. Because it is hard, and God does give me, I feel like, supernatural energy sometimes. And you know, I try to work out at least 5 days out of the week, and just having discipline with certain things. And as you get older, like, it gets harder to like lose weight and all the things. And you know, I just have to keep trying, though. I don't give up. And so, it's a balance. It's hard.
You definitely do it all, but you make it look well. You make it look good. You do it well. All right. So next, she cares for the poor and needy. I'm like, not only is she caring for her family, but she caring for the poor and needy. Like, that's amazing to me. She's generous. She's compassionate. She's strong and dignified. Like, we ain't no punks. I mean, women, we go through a lot and we make it do what it do, for real. She faces the future with confidence. She's clothed in strength. There's nothing that, you know, and I won't say that we are fearless, but I do believe that we are to move forward in the face of fear, if that makes sense. You know, I think there's a phrase that I was taught in college, feel the fear and do it anyways, you know, because you're trusting God. So she speaks with wisdom and kindness. I feel like the wisdom piece is something that we really try to offer you all. We try to bring people on that have different life experiences so we can learn from one another, so we can grow from one another. That's how you gain wisdom, is not just by learning from others, but also applying, you know, what you've learned. Her words are thoughtful and full of grace. I think that goes back to, you know, tone, knowing what you're saying and how you're saying it. She takes care of her household. We kind of talked about that. She's honored by her family. I think that's beautiful, you yes. know, to be revered, not only outside the home, but also inside the home, you know, where her children and her husband praise her for her virtues. And then lastly, she fears the Lord. Most importantly, she is a woman after God's own heart. Her true beauty comes from her faith and reverence for God. And I think about, you know, if people, you know, when people say, oh God, you're glowing, you know, as you said, it's because we're supposed to be the light. You know what I mean? And that light comes from God. It comes from Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we are fly. We are fierce. We are fashion forward and, you know, all those things. But at the end of the day, it pales in comparison to the character of Christ on the inside of us. So again, those are the tenets of the Proverbs 31 woman, and really the blueprint for becoming Eva. We try our best to provide resources and support and encouragement and feature guests that embody these characteristics. So,
yes. Now on to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Like Mary, she was a humble, faithful, and obedient servant of God, chosen to be the mother of Jesus, the Son of God. And you guys can read about Mary all throughout the New Testament, from the birth to having Jesus turn the water into wine at the wedding, to the crucifixion. Like, so many times she is featured in the Bible, and there are so many things we can learn from her. Like, I can't imagine being a virgin and an angel coming down and telling me that, you know, I am to give birth, and like all the ridicule that she must have faced from like family members and people, like talking. And then Joseph, like, still married her, and she had to tell him about that's a lot. Like, when you try to put yourself in her shoes, like, I feel like even just like in modern day, like how people talk, like if a PK's daughter gets pregnant out of wedlock, or anyone gets pregnant, and you know, the church chatter. Like, I can't imagine all the things that she was going through during that time, knowing that she is carrying the Son of God. Wow.
Yeah. And I think what blows me away every time I read about Mary's story is, like, after, first of all, this angel, this supernatural being comes to you and says, hey, I know you're a virgin and all, but the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, and you're going to become pregnant with the Son of God. Like, really? Really? That's a whole lot right there. But her response was worship. She worshiped and was like, God, you know, let your will be unto me as you have said. Like, that to me is amazing, to worship God and to surrender and submit to God's will.
So I mean, hold up, wait now. Wait, how is this gonna work? Is it gonna hurt? Is it gonna be painless? Since y'all, you know what I'm saying? That's like, real. Let's negotiate. Let's negotiate on some details. Can you you know, make it painless? Like, we may have to negotiate a little
bit. Yes, girl. Yes, a lot. So it was a lot. But she just said, amen.
Amen.
Let your will be done. So God bless. Shout out to Mary. God
bless you. Yes.
The real OG, for real.
Yes.
Wow.
And you want to talk about the other Mary?
Yeah, yes, I will talk about the other Mary. She's one of my faves, okay? This is Mary the waiter, okay? She was Martha's sister. So if you know about Mary and Martha, you know, and Jesus was chilling at their house, their brother was Lazarus. And you know, Jesus was at their house, and Martha and I have been Mary and Martha, y'all. Okay, so Martha was like, okay, Jesus is coming to this house. We need to make sure it's straight.
Get this house clean.
Get it
what
together.
Are you doing?
Get it, cook some food. We need to make sure the man got some victuals. Like, we need to make sure he is taken care of. So Martha's getting it done. Mary is like, it's Jesus. It's Jesus, the Son of God. I need to sit at this man's feet. I need to hear everything he has to say. I am in awe of him. Like, this is Mary, okay? This is also the same Mary who, right before Jesus is crucified, anoints him with expensive perfume. If you've heard the song Alabaster Box by my girl, Cece Winans, this is the Mary that she's talking about, that she's singing about, who, you know, poured perfume all over his feet and washed his feet, wiped his feet with her hair. Like, this is the one. And meanwhile, the disciples over here hating. They like, you know how much that bottle costed? You know, we could have sold it. Costed, sorry, y'all. You know how much that bottle cost? We could have sold it and fed the poor or gave it to the needy. And she's like, Jesus is like, she did what she was supposed to do. Like, you're going to have the poor with you. You know, they'll still be with you. I'm about to die. You know, she just anointed me for my burial. And what she has done will be remembered by all for generations to come. And sure enough, it's canonized in scripture. And so I just love the fact that Mary kept the main thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, she did not take for granted the fact that Jesus was in her presence. She did not take for granted that the Son of God was like in her midst. And she was intentional about soaking it all in and spending as much time with him while he walked this earth as she possibly could. And I'm trying to remember, I'll check in here. We might have this in our notes. She just I was trying to see if this was one of the Marys. You remember if this was one of the Marys that discovered when he had been resurrected?
I think it is.
I don't have that in my notes, y'all. Y'all tell me if it was, but God used her in that regard as well to tell the disciples, like, hey, I'm not dead. I have risen, you know. So that's amazing that he gave her such an incredible assignment as well after his death, burial, and resurrection. So yeah, that is Mary the waiter. I mean, and not only, like, when I say waiter, Martha was waiting on Jesus, like serving him, and Mary was waiting at his feet. She was waiting in his presence, which yes. is beautiful. Yeah.
Yes.
So, all right. So those are just a few of the sheroes that we wanted to talk about from the Word of God. Like, and when I say they're the OGs, like, they really are, like, they are the women that laid it out for the rest of us, and that we can definitely learn from and glean from moving forward. So are there any that you feel like you identify the most with, LaToya?
I would say I identify the most with Deborah, mm-hmm. the most. And I think because my mom has ingrained in my brain mm-hmm. about my middle name, mm-hmm. Kashawn.
Yes.
And even how she was a leader. Mm-hmm. And I feel like God has called me to be a leader Amen. In this generation, a type of Deborah in mm-hmm. this generation. And I don't know what that looks like entirely, mm-hmm. but even with my first name, LaToya, my mom told me that I was named after, it's a flower. LaToya comes from the name Victoria.
Oh.
And so Victoria comes from Spain, mm-hmm. and it means victorious. Mm-hmm. And so there is a flower named after that, victorious, yes. a flower in Spain mm-hmm. that blooms in the darkness. Mm. And so
my Lord.
My mom encourages me to bloom in spite of the darkness. Amen. And then she ties in you know, the Kishon River and being like a Deborah in this time, a type of leader. And so I think I identify with Deborah the most out of all of the women. What about you?
That's, first of all, that's beautiful. I did not know that about like just the origin. I knew your middle name and that that came from like the Kishon River, but like the flower blooming in a girl, that's amazing. Go ahead, mama. After the flower blooming in the darkness. I love that. I love that. I love Deborah too, because she's a warrior, you know, and I'm a fighter. You know what I mean? And I'm not, now growing up, I was a physical fighter. I ain't fight girls, but I had like boy cousins that like grew up like my brothers. And so, you know, we would wrestle a lot. We, you know, I had tomboy tendencies. So I was a fighter in that regard too. I will still put a brother in a headlock if he, you know, like my little nephews or whatever. But all that to say, I'm a fighter though, like spiritually as well. And so I love that about Deborah, because it's like, you can't keep a good woman. You can't keep a woman of God down. I'm gonna say that. And resilience has to be in your DNA, you know, especially if we're here on this earth, you know. So I love Deborah too. But I will say for me, the person that resonates with me the most is Mary the Waiter. Like, first of all, I'm a worshiper, and not just like artistically and musically, but like I really desire for my life to be to give glory and honor to God, like every aspect of my life. And I love just sitting in the presence of God. I love dwelling in the presence of God. And over the years, God has taught me that my anointing, that my strength, that my joy, that my peace is tied to me being willing to wait in the presence of God, and to be still in the presence of God, and to be silent in the presence of God, like to really absorb his presence. And so I just love the fact that Mary was like enamored. I kind of imagine her, you know, sitting at his feet, just like, oh my gosh, look at Jesus. Like, and just being in awe of who he is, beholding his glory, hanging on to his every word. Like, that is a desire that I have for my life, that I would cling to his word over and above any and everyone else, that I would be so caught up in beholding his glory that I could care less what's going on around me, because I'm focused on him. And I feel like in this day and age, especially, like, we need that type of focus, because there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on, and it can easily throw you off track. It can easily distract you. It can discourage you. But we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. And so, yeah, I would definitely say Mary the Waiter for me.
I love it. The worshiper.
Yes.
So it's been a minute since we've done one of these BE challenges, but we want to challenge you guys to research about one of the women, one of the sheroes that we talked about today, and just do your own research, read your scriptures, see who you identify with the most. And as always, don't forget to check out our website at Becoming Eva Today and grab your merch, your water bottles, your cups, your shirts, totes, shirts, slides, all the things.
Yeah, all the cute stuff. It's getting warm, y'all.
Yes. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Becoming Eva Today. And we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.